And welcome back to episode 137 of the Weekly Tech Wrap with me, Jay.
And me, Carl.
So, first off, apologies for the slightly longer than anticipated break between episode 136 and this one. Due to some scheduling issues, I guess, on our part that we didn't plan properly for, we ended up with a slightly longer break than anticipated. So, like I say, really sorry about that. You know, that's not how we operate here. You know, we've tried to keep to a good schedule over the last couple of years, and we'll try and do that. So in future going forward, we'll plan in breaks where we can, and hopefully, you know, my little update to listeners, you managed to hear that. So we are back then for episode 137, back on our regular schedule programming. We've got a good lineup of stories today, everything from more AR through to DMCA takedowns, Neuralink, a bit about Meta Quest, AMD. We're going to lose the I in Core I. Yes, that's an Intel branding problem. And the TechRant rumor mill is making its well-deserved return as well. So then, Carl, before we kick off, apologies if there's any background noise. I appear to be living in a building site at the minute. So unscheduled noise in the background, I will try and edit out where I can. So then, first things first then, I guess let's talk Apple. Because obviously when we last spoke, we were around WWDC.
We were.
Vision Pro has been not launched, but it has been launched, isn't it? But it's not available yet.
Yeah.
And Apple are officially in the AR, VR headset business now, because you can get the dev kits. That's already available. So if you've got Xcode, you can jump into the simulator. You can kind of get a view of what apps would look like in a kind of simulated view through the Vision Pro headset. But turns out they've been doing some acquisitions in the background, haven't they, then, around this?
They have. They purchased, an LA-based company called Mirror. They're an AR startup that makes kind of headsets for other companies and among them, the US military. They got contracts for the US Air Force for pilots at Travis Air Force Base. They're using the startup's Prism Pro headset for displaying things like heads-up equipment instruction. So more the engineers than the actual pilots. But they've also got an undisclosed agreement for what they do with the Navy. And what got me was the Mario Kart ride at the theme park in Japan and LA's Universal Studios. So there's an AR headset you wear during the ride. But it's kind of unclear how much Apple has paid for Mirror. I think Mirror raised about $17 million in funding to date. So not a huge one. But Johnny Ive was apparently an advisor to the startup at one point.
Yes, it turns out these headsets kind of use a prism technology, don't they, to give you a heads-up display in your vision.
Yeah.
So, you know, the Air Force one, at least we understand it potentially used for sort of displaying heads-up information, instructions, I guess. I'm going to go out on a limb, possibly either for probably engineering rather than pilots,
yeah,
I suspect.
Exactly. How to fix the craft, I imagine.
Yeah, a bit like HoloLens were doing, but obviously that's slightly different because that was AR. And again, you know, with the Nintendo theme park rides at the theme parks, it shows information around the game, doesn't it? Like virtual characters and things you can do as you go along. So obviously we're not entirely sure what's been integrated into Vision Pro or the Vision Pro journey, but clearly there's something Apple wanted here, didn't they?
Did.
You know, they've only been around for 7 years by the sound of it as well, which is quite impressive.
Yeah, they are quite an early one. And obviously, we reached out to Apple for a statement. Well, no, we didn't. The press did. But as usual, we got the same Apple by smaller technology companies from time to time, and we generally do not discuss our purpose or plans. So it's that boilerplate response as usual.
Yeah, and given it was a private company, I'm guessing somewhere in Apple's financials, being a public company, the data will be there somewhere, won't there?
I imagine it's a small blip. We're not talking billions, are we? If they raise probably 70 million, we're probably talking 100 million or less.
No doubt. I don't think much more than that, really. But clearly it's something that they wanted. They've bought this company for the technology as opposed to the company itself, haven't they?
Exactly. Now, those contracts over the military and Nintendo, I don't think they'll be carrying on, especially the military ones, because that's very not Apple.
No, which is a shame, because you'd think, Apple would do something amazing with them. But that is not Apple's bag. You know, Microsoft, particularly with HoloLens, weren't too fussed about that. They were happy to play in that space, weren't they? But Apple is very much, I don't want to say pacifist, that's not the right word, is it? But they don't seem to get involved with, military technology, at least not to public knowledge.
No, exactly. So, no. Yeah, we'll see where that goes, and maybe we'll see something come out of it.
Definitely, definitely. I'm still waiting for my Vision Pro, of course, you know.
Of course, if you placed the order then, have you?
I might do Q1 next year, yeah. Yeah, that yeah, right?
Maybe, yeah. You can start saving now.
Saving now. Saving for the next 10 years, probably, to be honest with you. So, on to our next story of the week then, Meta. Ah, Meta. Indeed, Meta, yeah. Meta is in trouble again. Well, actually, we reported on this, didn't we, a couple of months ago around the Giphy acquisition. Now, if you're not sure what Giphy is, or you've been living under a stone or something, or you don't use any kind of, I guess, messaging applications, Giphy is a site where they compiled, I guess, probably the best way to, isn't it? You know, GIFs, yeah, memes, whatever, images that you could use and integrate. You know, and you can go to your friendly... I don't know, friendly messaging, like I use Slack at work here, or you know, we can type in /Giphy and then a text, you know, and it will display a GIF or GIF depending on your pronunciation based on that request, isn't it? Yeah. So if I recall then, so was it Meta, aka Facebook, bought Giphy back, what, 2-3 years ago, wasn't it? I think, wasn't it?
It was sort of $347 million. $400 million, I should say.
Wow.
$400 million. And but obviously, it took a little while, but the regulators stepped in, and our UK's very own CMA was having none of this.
Oh, the good old CMA.
And forced Meta to sell Giphy. So they've now found a buyer in Shutterstock.
Okay.
You know that website? A website you can go and you can buy pictures you can use on your website, can't you? You go to them for... I can't remember what the word is now. First time, stock photos.
Stock photos, that's it. Yeah, and sort of, yeah, things, isn't it? Yeah.
Wow. They didn't pay $400 million for it, did they?
They got a bargain, if I would say.
$53 million. So, yeah, Meta took a hit of $347 million on the asking price.
Wow. That was pump and dump.
Yeah, just dump, need to get off the books before we're in more trouble. Yeah, but expected to close June, so at some point this month, not many days left in June. So Shutterstock did put out a statement basically saying its purchase will boost its stake in casual conversations by adding GIFs and stickers to its catalog. We'll also gain customers like Microsoft, TikTok, and Twitter.
Maybe I'm wrong. I thought maybe it wasn't Shutterstock, but I know in Microsoft Office platform, yeah, you can browse royalty-free pictures, but I wonder where, I wonder what provider they're coming from. Perhaps it's another provider, but I'm guessing now...
Shutterstock usually make you pay for it, so I can imagine your GIFs, you having to pay to use them soon.
Oh, don't. Well, that'll kill off a whole... That'll lose a lot of market share there, won't it? Interesting though, that they also talked about generative AI, because let's be honest, you're not anybody unless you're doing generative AI at the moment.
Of course.
And they've said that, you know, maybe this is going to be more around the mobile side of things. You know, so I'm guessing you'll type a conversation and it'll suggest a GIF or picture or image for you.
Maybe,
or something.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how I feel about that particular point, but you know, I like it. You know, you and I occasionally have conversations in
GIFs. We have been known to dabble.
You know, sometimes, you know what? Actually, a picture says 1,000 words, doesn't it? You know, and sometimes you just need, that's the only response needed, is a humorous picture on that. You know, so yeah, look, you know, the fact they got it for you know, less than 60 million, ironically. Meta, you know, were fined $70 million for buying them, weren't they? Without the regulatory approval. So,
yeah,
you know, all in all, Shutterstock here, you know, definitely got the better end of this deal. But Meta continue, don't they, to be on a downward spiral with regulatory compliance.
Twitter's well on that way now, aren't they?
Oh, Twitter are ensuring that they too are going to play in that space. It isn't a, you know, what's the American phrase? A dumpster fire, I think, is the right one, isn't it?
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. The EU will be suing them into oblivion at some point shortly, I imagine.
Yes, yes, they will.
But that only works if Twitter actually responds, whipping more than a poo emoji.
Well, yeah, that's right. But then again, don't forget your name. If your name is Elon Musk and your name is Mark Zuckerberg, you're going to have, a billion dollar cage fight or something, isn't it? You know?
Yeah, I hadn't heard any more on that. Is that happening?
Well, supposedly. I know we're going off on a slight hatch here, or a slight tangent. But, you know, this supposedly wasn't it? Elon Musk, put out a tweet, to say that he wanted to fight Mark Zuckerberg in a cage fight. Yeah. And his tweet said, and he replied to somebody saying, "I'm up for a cage fight if he was." And it was replied to it. And apparently, he said, "Oh, we're at Vegas Octagon, and where they do the UFC fights." And supposedly, apparently Mark Zuckerberg said, "Send me the location," and that was on. Mark Zuckerberg took a screenshot of the tweet, posted it on his Instagram account with the words, "Send me the location." And apparently, that has been confirmed as genuine, and now it's in the ball. You know, the ball's in Elon Musk's sort of court. Yeah, and then apparently, it went on to say Vegas Octagon, and that's it. And you're right. Supposedly, there's $1 billion on the table. I read somewhere. Now, I can't confirm that. But this is just absolutely ludicrous. I mean, I want to see it.
I'm not sure who I'm cheering for, though. They're both villains.
Well, yeah, they are. So you've got basically a large chunk of the richest, more money on planet Earth here. Musk is 51 years old, right?
Yeah.
Zuckerberg's 39. Zuckerberg is already jiu-jitsu trained and winning competitions, and apparently is training to be an MMA fighter before all this happened.
Yeah.
I can't see Musk
actually going through with it, though.
On paper,
I can imagine Zuckerberg doing it, but not
Zuckerberg's going to kick his ass on paper.
Yeah.
That's the way I look at it. But Musk, let's be honest, Musk doesn't play fair. We know that across anything, does it?
Have a body double.
It would be a body double. Apparently, Musk was tweeted saying he's got a move called the Walrus, where he just falls on his opponents and lies there.
I'm not sure where to go with that.
And apparently, Zuckerberg has just recently completed what's called the Murph Challenge, which is in reference to I can't think of the guy's name now. Lieutenant Michael P. Murphy, who was a Navy SEAL who was killed in action in 2005, and the challenge apparently is 100 pull-ups, 200 push-ups, 300 squats, and a mile run, and you've got to wear a 20-pound weighted vest. And apparently Zuckerberg did it in 39 minutes.
Wowza.
So, yeah.
I mean, I might do the 100 push-ups in 39 minutes.
39 minutes, yeah, exactly. I'll leave that there on the table with that one. But, crazy, but yes, that is the state of play with Meta and Twitter at the moment. They're now cage fighting,
God.
So, yes, from Meta then to talking about, regulatory compliance then, DMCA notices. Nintendo have pulled out their DMCA lawyer, haven't they? And popped across the valve.
I have. Nintendo are really, really hot on protecting their IP, aren't they? Even from modders, even for consoles and games that are no longer sold, they'll go after you. I think it was a couple of weeks back, it was announced that Dolphin, which is a GameCube and Wii emulator, was coming to Steam. That's fairly big news in itself to get that coming to Steam. Well, it seems Nintendo really wasn't too happy with that, and basically it's preemptively fired shots across Valve's bow, basically sending them a notice to say, yeah, you're not letting this on the platform, or we will pretty much sue you into oblivion.
This is just have a think about what your next move is, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. Valve have said they don't want to take sides, but they won't be hosting Dolphin. That's taking sides, isn't it?
Valve have always been a bit quick, though, haven't they, to pull stuff?
Yeah.
So give us a quick... So Dolphin, then, is... it's an emulator software, isn't it, for the Wii?
GameCube and the Wii. Wii games, yeah.
So which emulators aren't illegal? It's the ROMs.
The ROMs and things like the cryptographic keys. So I think in the letter they sent, it specifically claims that the Dolphin emulator operates by incorporating these cryptographic keys without Nintendo's authorization and decrypting the ROMs at or immediately before runtime. Thus, the use of Dolphin emulator unlawfully circumvents technology measures, blah, blah, blah.
Just playing devil's advocate here, right? What's your view on an emulator and all the ROMs for a console that has been out of production, out of sale, for nearly 20 years.
I'm all for it. I mean, if Nintendo aren't selling this anymore, you can't, yeah, they're not selling it. You can't buy it unless you go to something like eBay. They're not making money on it. Okay, let's take Mario, for example. Yes, they've got new versions of Mario on new consoles, but you can't go and buy the Wii version from Nintendo or the console to even run it on. So I don't know. I mean, it's a tricky one. I think I'm all for it and preserving, like gaming history.
Yeah, I think that's where I look at now. Okay, I understand there's a licensing issue here. Nintendo retain the copyright. It's their product, their platform.
Of course, not taken away from that.
But, you know, the Nintendo 60, you know, N64 was, what, 1997, 98, or whatever? I can't remember exactly now off the top of my head. You know, nearly 30 years in the grand scheme of things. You know, the Wii, the Wiis were the early 2000s. And, you know, again, they're at sale, out of production. You know, you can't buy one unless you say, you go into, you know... None of the games are there. You know, if you've got the games or you don't have a Wii or you haven't got an N64, well, then you can't do anything with them. So surely having the ability to play them shouldn't, should be an issue. Surely, like you say, keeping that legacy alive.
But that doesn't play with Nintendo, because Nintendo, in a couple of years' time, will start releasing GameCube and Wii games via their emulator on the Switch or the Switch 2 or whatever.
That's what this is
about.
And
they'll charge you 30 or 40 quid a pop for an inferior emulated version of what you could go and get with Dolphin.
And that is exactly what this is about. This is about Nintendo wanting to cream more money out of you for a terrible version of games that actually would play better on, you know.
Yeah, because we've seen some of the new ones they've emulated. SNES, and they are terrible ports. You can do much better with the open source like SNES 9X, for example.
And the problem is, though, with Nintendo, is we all know Nintendo don't make it easy enough to say it. Nintendo prices never come down, do they? You know, games that were released 10 years ago still cost almost effectively the same as they did then.
Yeah, I've still got a wish list on my Switch, and I'm like, every time I go, look, it's like, they're still 50 quid each. I'm like, not buying it.
No, I'd love to buy more Switch games. I just cannot justify.
Can't remember the last time I bought one. I just can't. It sits there because I can't justify that much.
No, I really like the Switch. I really want to buy more games. I just don't want to spend the amount of money that Nintendo want. You know, maybe that's me. Maybe that's my problem. But, you know, when was the last time you saw Nintendo games, you know, first party? I don't mean, you know, other developers. I mean Nintendo first party games being on sale of a decent sale rather than, you know, a couple of quid or a couple of bucks.
Even Mario Kart 8 on the Switch, which is a rehash of the one on the Wii, isn't it? Or the Wii U or whatever it is. It's not a new game. Isn't that still £40 or £50?
Yeah, I think it is, yeah. No.
It's like, come on, man. That was the launch game with the Switch.
Yeah.
And it itself wasn't a new game. It was just a port of
an old rehash. Exactly. And let's be honest, a lot of the games on the Switch are that indeed. They're ports of older.
I mean, I think they've added some more tracks and stuff now, but I mean, as it came, you know, it was still just a hash, a port.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. I mean, I'd love to see what would happen if somebody tomorrow, and I know there are, so don't just, you know, hear me out as a kind of a hypothetical. Somebody said, right, here's Sega, the Mega Drive, what was the CD add-on? The Mega CD, you know. There was a 32X and there was a CD one, wasn't it? Mega CD. Yes. You know, here's a brand new emulator for that. We're going to drop that on Valve. And like, you can't even get those things now. You couldn't even find one that would plug into a TV because nobody.
I don't think.
You know, that's what I mean. No, it could be like, oh my God, somebody's still playing those games would probably be the response I'd have. But yeah, so yeah, Nintendo doing what Nintendo do best, emulating PlayStation and Sony in the quest to destroy other markets. But, you know,
strangely, it's still available on GitHub and its own website.
But yeah, because I've
it's always been hosted.
Yeah, but that's different because if it's already been there, that's a different thing. The fact that Valve, don't forget, have got a huge presence. Valve doing it would probably signify that it's kind of, I don't know, okayed, isn't it?
Yeah, maybe.
That's, you know, that's the path, the potential way that it could have been. I don't know, but so from Nintendo, let's talk about Sonos. So Sonos, you know, you and I are both fans of Sonos. You've got more Sonos than I have. You know, I used to have a full Sonos setup. I only now have got one Sonos. Well, actually, the IKEA X Sonos.
Well, I bought several of those recently.
You have. I personally think they are better than the original Sonos kit. Even though their, you know, internals are the same.
Better than the Play One. So I've heard the new. They've got some new models out, which are meant to be very, very good.
Now, Sonos obviously used to be, you know, the de facto multi-room speaker setup, wasn't it? With their apps,
it is, yeah.
The ability to play music. However, in the last few years, of course, there's been a real increase in the smart speaker things, you know, from Google. You obviously the HomePods from our friends in Cupertino.
Yeah.
And Sonos really, I think, have kind of faltered a bit, and they have in the marketplace now, haven't they, in terms of this multi-speaker setup.
It is. I still think Sonos is the, well, they've done it, is the better solution. I know you've gone in the Apple way. You've got your what do you call them? Forgot the name of them now. iPods?
No, HomePods.
That's the one. You got the HomePods. But yeah, I'm correct if I'm wrong. But if you start playing something, you have to do it from your phone. So say you take Spotify for example, boom, AirPlay it to multiple rooms within the house. You leave your home network, that music stops.
And what do you mean?
So if you're playing it, you're on your home network, you've sent your stream of Spotify from your phone to your AirPods, HomePods, sorry. You go out now and you're no longer on your home network, that music would stop.
Oh, yeah, you mean if I'm AirPlaying it, you mean?
Yeah, exactly. Because it's done from your phone, whereas the Sonos way is... You log on to the Spotify from the Sonos controller or the Sonos speakers itself. So if you leave the house, it still just carries on.
Yeah, but HomePods can do that because if you do it through Home, yeah. So if you do, because HomePods can have their own Apple Music account, so they can
but
play that way.
Only Apple Music.
Yeah, it's only Apple Music.
You can't do with like the 20 odd pods that Sonos supports.
No, but you are right. That's the thing. The local media access on Sonos was brilliant, but the problem is these days for me personally, I couldn't tell you the last time that I played music from my local library because...
But, I mean, it's not just the local library. I mean, the fact that the Sonos speakers themselves stream the music to them, not by your phone.
Oh, no,
the phone is just
a
control bit for setting it up.
Yeah. But, you know, for them, though, clearly the market has been, you know, coming down, haven't they? So they're now saying, was it they made an announcement earlier this month on the 14th, saying that they were doing a workforce reduction of approximately 7% across... globally, and also reducing their real estate footprint. That was their words, not mine.
Yeah.
That implies that, you know, clearly that they are on a downturn.
They are.
I think, what was it? The 9to5 Mac reckon they employed approximately, what was it, 1,844 employees.
Yep.
So that's a roughly speaking, 130 people are going to lose jobs or will have take redundancy, I guess, in that respect.
Yeah, and it's not just that. It's not just the downside of the people in the state. They're also, as I said, they're reevaluating certain program spend. So they'll be cutting new product development, maybe, or supporting old products, or whatever it happens to be.
Yeah, this is it, isn't it? I did the Roam speakers, the Move ones. I think I tested one of those. I can't remember which one it was, whether it was the Roam or the Move. But I had one. They were really nice speakers. Your outdoor ones, your waterproof.
Yeah, they do a portable really one, don't they? Like a portable Bluetooth speaker. I mean, but they also do one that can be like a Sonos one, but you can take it off its stand. It's got a built-in battery and you take it outside.
Yeah. But apparently there was some good news, wasn't there? So Sonos apparently looks to be winning the lawsuit they've got against Google at the moment, which is apparently worth over $30 million. And that was around a patent infringement that one of the Google smart speakers infringed on Sonos's smart speakers. And apparently the jury in that reckoned that Google should pay, $2.30 for each of the 14 million devices that were sold. So a little bit of change coming back to Sonos's,
correct me if I'm wrong, unless you can even remember, wasn't the one where Sonos and Google were working together and Google basically stole half the tech?
I think it was, yes, something to do.
Or
yeah, it was.
Along
back
those
in,
lines.
Yes, that's right. Back in 2013, they were partnering around the multi-room technology.
Yeah.
Google.
Cut all ties and brought out their own product.
Look what we've made. Mwah.
Oh, God, here we go again. Yeah.
So it's taken 7 years later, but apparently, though, there was a part of it was slightly damning, though. Apparently, the judge struck off a $90 million damage estimate from a Sonos expert witness.
Oh, really?
But you know, still, obviously, in the guise of Sonos, this will be a win. So hopefully, they'll get
definitely, but it'll be a pinch in the ocean for Google. It won't dissuade them from doing it again.
No, it's a shame, though. I mean, hopefully, you know, Solas perhaps are just suffering from, you know, the current, what's it, macroeconomic situation that many other firms are finding, and that this will be just a, you know, a small bump in the road for them.
But yeah,
again, you know, we, you know, excuse me, our hearts go out, or thoughts go out to, you know, those affected, like any of the layoffs that have been in the tech sector in the last couple of years. So hopefully those people will be able to find new employment soon.
Yeah.
All right, then. Going back to Elon Musk, then, and, you know, one of his more slightly dodgy startups is Neuralink, isn't it? So Neuralink obviously wants to have... Well, basically, we're talking about brain implants, aren't we, really? Let's be honest.
Exactly. Brain-computer interfaces, but very much inserted in your brain, isn't it? I mean, I don't think noble end goals here, other than just making money. No, it's apparently meant to help solve a wide range of medical and therapeutic applications, from stroke and spinal cord injury to neuroprosthetic controls. So I can see the benefits of it. But if you've read any news on it and how many animals have been tortured and killed during the testing phases, to hear the news that 2 months ago in March, the FDA has actually approved human trials, it's rather worrying, considering they rejected it back in March due to all those animals dying.
I mean, the animals dying part is slightly concerning. What was it? Apparently 1,500 animals have been killed in part of the development since 2018.
Yeah, and reports I've read, the animals weren't kept in good health. It was very poorly done. You know, the FDA itself rejected it back in March, but now something's happened and they're okay for human trials.
I'm sorry. If you've killed over 1,500 creatures as part of this, and you're now telling me it's ready for human trials, I mean, I'd like to hope that what number 1,499 was the winning one.
Yeah, I mean, some of the things they raised were around the device's lithium battery obviously being implanted in the brain as well. The potential for the implant's tiny wires to migrate to other areas of the brain. And questions over whether or how the device can be removed without damaging brain tissue. They've apparently overcome that in 2 or 3 months. And now, yeah, they're allowed to do it. Though they have said they're not currently looking for volunteers. good. I mean, I don't think I would be volunteering. How about you?
That's the best statement I think I've heard all day. Yeah, we've killed 1,500 people. We like going to human trials, but you don't need to volunteer. It's fine. No, hell no. This is kind of the dystopian Hollywood movie, isn't it? Where there are no volunteers, but instead what you get is, you know, volunteers that have come from the penal system who have been signed up to new probes. You know, that's some weird Hollywood horror movie.
You can be sentenced to death for death penalty, or you can have this implanted in your brain. I'll take the death sentence, please.
I'm sure this isn't the plotline of Robocop 2, isn't it? Mm. You know, where they end up with criminals. Yeah, and they make Kane. But anyway, I digress. Like you say, back to the point, the noble intentions, you know, the part around, you know, spinal cord injury, the ability to control prosthetic, you know, limbs.
This is a great one. The ability to rewind memories or download them into robots.
We'll park that one.
We'll park, exactly. Forget those.
But, you know, let's be honest, in the future, this is how it's going to work, because people, you know, if you think, you know, the whole holy grail here, a lot of this, isn't it, is people have got spinal paralysis from, I can't remember what, isn't it particular, one of the vertebrae down, isn't it? I can't remember which one it is, but spinal cord paralysis. So the ability then to almost rewire the spinal cord to unlock that paralysis through, I don't know, whether it be injury, through, you know, warfare, whatever it might have done. Oh my God, that is going to be a absolute game changer, humanity, isn't it? Really?
Yeah, you know, 100%. It's just the word Musk that worries me.
Spoilers.
I mean, if you died, you just get a poop emoji.
I can see it now. That's it. That's going to come up on, because you're going to have some kind of built-in, like, Apple Vision Pro equivalent. That's just going to flash up. That's just going to flash up in your eyes, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it. Game over. I've got the poop emoji.
Promotion. Oh yeah, what's happened? Oh yeah, your BCI's crashed. That's it. Job
done. Your credit card bounced.
Your credit card. That's it.
Subscription. That's it.
That's it. Just a poop emoji. That's it. Brilliant. But what also happened is at some point in it, they'll decide that the APIs that you're accessing cost $50,000 a go. So
it's £1 million a month for your robotic legs or whatever.
I mean, all joking aside, I mean, it's just nuts. Absolute nuts. I'm all for it. You know, it is a good way. It is something important. And I think, you know, the technology is sound. You know, absolute sound. But I think what I'm worried about personally is more
who's right,
more of it going wrong. Yeah, is that right? Is that the right way to look at it?
Yeah, maybe not wait for product 2.0, maybe product 10.0 at least, or someone not Musk.
This is not bleeding edge that I'd like to test, but that way, you know,
no, it's a very real chance of bleeding.
This is not like running iOS 7 beta 1, I'll tell you that.
Living on the edge there, Jeff.
Yeah, this is like my legs appear to be walking backwards, but I'm sat down. What's going on?
You know? Or in different directions.
Or I wake up and I can see somebody else's through somebody else's eyes. You know, that's like.
Oh yeah, exactly.
Yeah. No. Okay. All right. Moving on then. Talking of AR VR then. So Meta have just announced the Quest 3.
Day before Apple's event. Yeah,
they did indeed. And I think we did reference that on the WWDC lineup.
So it's not out to buy yet, is it? So it was a pre-announcement to get in there. I think it's available like the fall, they've said, but it's taking a lot of tech from the Quest Pro. So you can apparently have a 40% slimmer optic profile by using those pancake lenses from the Quest Pro. Yeah. Be wider field of view, a higher resolution displays. It's apparently going to use the new Snapdragon next-gen chipset. It should have twice the performance of the Quest 2, they're saying. It's going to grab that high-res color pass-through from the Quest Pro for mixed reality. Apparently, it should be better than that because it's going to have dual 4-megapixel RGB cameras. So apparently, 10 times more pixels in pass-through than the Quest 2. Well, that's not hard to do. Quest 2 was terrible for pass-through. But it will have a depth sensor for scanning your play space. So if you've ever used the Quest 2 at the moment, you have to map your play space using the controller. Apparently, this should do it automatically just using the depth sensors. What else? And apparently, a very reasonable starting at $500.
I mean, that's actually not bad, is it, really, when you think about it?
No, because what was the Quest Pro? That was... came out at $1,500, didn't it? And then it probably got a price cut to around $1,000, I think. So half the price of a Quest Pro, I think, is pretty good. And I'd be quite interested. If this is as good as they say it is, I might upgrade when it comes out.
It is a nice-looking headset with those pancake lenses, isn't it? You know, much nicer. You know, Meta have got a lot of stats, you know, claims, you know, around the sharpness and the better edges, better field of view, you know, that's one of the things I think I find annoying on my Rift S is the field of view.
I feel like you're in a letterbox sometimes.
A little bit sometimes, especially when we're playing DCS. And of course, I nearly dropped £50 today on.
Did you nearly buy the F15?
Yeah. I nearly did. Nearly hit send. I buy on the F15.
You know that's going to be terrible in VR to start off with until it's optimized. Every new product is terrible in VR.
I don't know the videos I watched earlier, but anyway, I'm digressing. I mean. It is pretty good. Apparently, though, the Go, the Quest, the Rift S, and the Quest 2 apparently all use the same Fresnel lenses. So, you know, in theory, this is a complete game changer for them. Yeah. I still don't know whether I'd want another Meta headset. I really think, you know, Reverb or HTC Vive.
The Reverb is quite old now, and things are just getting a lot better than it.
They are. That's the problem. It's just, it's
there's
Meta.
No one else
that's
come out problem. With one. It's, I know, that's my problem too. And I begrudgingly bought the Quest 2. But you don't need a Meta account now and not a Facebook account, thank God.
But it's still Meta.
It's still the same, but I don't actually have to have a Facebook presence is what I meant, that people can then find me and try and befriend me.
Shut up.
Yeah. If it wasn't just Meta, you're right. But I don't know any other ones that are as good for as cheap.
No, I mean, I think I'd like to demo one, I think, to have a go on it. But yeah, I'm not sold at the moment on the.
Well, come up to mine when I buy it. You play some racing games.
Yeah, maybe I should. Thanks very much. Yeah. I won't be sick this time.
No, the version we've got now, with the new 3090, runs a lot smoother.
The interesting part, I have to say, though, is with this one now, is that the Quest 3 gives you apparently color pass-through, doesn't it? So there's 4-megapixel cameras.
It does. The same as the Quest Pro. It should be better than the Quest Pro, apparently. Larger pass-through cameras.
So that's something different, I have to say. I don't think I'm quite sold yet on it, but we'll see.
We'll see. But you might need some new GPUs to power.
I'm gonna go with it. Yeah.
Yeah. So AMD done the latest roadmap a few weeks ago, confirming the new Ryzen 8000 CPUs with based on Zen 5, because the current 7000s are Zen 4, aren't they?
Yeah.
But more interestingly, an updated Navi 3.5 graphics architecture for next year. Now, 3.5 is actually going to be a mix of the current Navi 3 with some tech they borrowed from the upcoming Navi 4. But the rumor is it's going to have this new mega APU variant, aimed at laptops and stuff. It's codenamed Strix Halo or Sarlacc. There's two versions. Yeah. Great. But apparently this is going to top out with 40 compute units, which is the same as you currently get on the RX 6700 XT, which is a mid-range discrete GPU. The rumors are saying, and I'm not entirely convinced by this one, that the performance should be on par with an RTX 3070.
I mean, that's something
for onboard graphics.
Yeah, that is something impressive. I mean, don't get me wrong, AMD recently have been pretty good in this field.
Yeah.
And it's not, I don't think it's impossible, but that's still quite a benchmark.
On board graphics.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, just.
That's still one hell of a benchmark given what it actually is here.
Yeah, I mean, if it's even closer, even if it's 3060 performance for an onboard, that's going to be, you'd be able to get a nice light and thin laptop and still play some games on it while you're traveling.
I mean, up for that. I mean, I wonder how long, though, if this does, when this releases, framework come out with, if they come out with a a new,
they'll have an upgrade. They've got their AMD ones now out, haven't they? Yeah, AMD boards you can swap in. I'm still very interested in their new, is it a 15 or a 16 inch one, the one with all the exchangeable modules, so you can put a discrete GPU and swap that. I haven't heard any more about that yet. I'm still very interested in that.
Now, that would be quite cool. I'm quite intrigued by that too. It is something I would, if I had the disposable cash at this point in time to pick up a new laptop, Framework definitely are on my list. Oh, yeah. There's no doubt about it. They are making some great kit, but at the moment it's just not affordable, personally speaking.
No, definitely there's a lot going out at the moment. Next story up, and this is
this one blows my mind. I'm struggling to comprehend the branding here. So
what CPU are you currently running, Jay?
I'm running an i5 13-600K F.
Right. KF. Well, you can drop that I, because that's what Intel's doing. Okay, so they're getting rid of the Core I brand. So no more Core i3s, Core i5s, 7s, 9s, whatever they are. Apparently, the company's research says it found the core, not the i5 or i7, is what triggered associations with Intel. I'm not sure. So, I mean, they already dropped the Pentium and Celeron brands, last year or the year before, was it? So you get CPU, the low-end ones are like Intel N200. There's no Pentium and Celeron there. But so it's going to get a tad more confusing with no I. So you're now going to have the Intel Core 3, 5, and 7. But it's not just as simple as that, because you're then going to have an Intel Core Ultra 5, 7, and 9. So you have an overlap with the 5 or 7. You can't just say you have a Core 5 or 7 anymore, because it could be a Core 5 or 7 or Core Ultra 5 and 7. That's a lot more clear, Intel. Thank you for that.
So what does an Ultra give me then?
I don't know. Not sure yet, but it's a top-tier Ultra performance.
So, and apparently I did see they're dropping the gen, so there won't be like 13 or 14.
No, they won't say that either. So you'll never know what you're actually going to buy now. It's just going to be very, very confusing.
See, this is the thing. At least you knew where you stood. So if I've got a 14 dash, I don't know, 300.
You've got 13th gen Core i5, yeah?
Yeah, but if it's an 11 dash, 600, that's an 11th gen. You know where you're, you know exactly what you are. To me, this stinks of marketing trying to hide CPUs.
Here we go. Right, so the Ultra, right? So the hint is that the Intel Ultra Pros will have a bigger feature set with Arc level graphics integrated into the processor. So is that aimed at laptops? I'm not sure. It's kind of AI capabilities, apparently, for absolute best performance. Yeah, still don't really know.
Well, no, I mean, to me, that just seems that they're trying to hide it, make it easier for them to, you know, bamboozle the public into buying the CPUs that they want you to buy, as opposed to really being very clear on a, you know... okay, we know they got rid of Pentium and Celeron because Pentium had tanked. That was made a lot of sense. That was, you know, 30-year-old brand that really didn't make any sense anymore. Celeron, again, was, you know, it really was associated at the low end, wasn't it? You know, if you saw Celeron, you pretty much avoid it like a 10-foot, you know. You know, now they're called, you know, what's it, like Intel N100 or whatever, something DAF, which, again, you've got no idea what it is, have you? If you're not an enthusiast, you've got no idea what that means.
Well, no, even going back to the research, unless you're a enthusiast, you didn't know what a Core i5 or i7 was, whether it had an i in it or not. You had no freaking clue. You just went and bought a laptop. You were like, I've got £600 to spend. That looks pretty. It's got a touchscreen. I want that one. Yeah, buy that, please.
And it turns out it was powered by a three-legged hamster who's got, you know, 3 seconds to live.
Exactly. But that's retail. Yeah. That's consumers. Yeah. You're just making it more confusing for us enthusiasts.
Yeah, I'm glad I've upgraded now, because I think otherwise I'd have been like, what the... You know. Yeah, I definitely would have been struggling otherwise with that. You know, real super clear Intel. Thanks so much. So this is going to happen with... Is this coming with the next Meteor Lakes? Isn't it the 14th?
So the Core 5.7 and 3.5.7 is coming with Meteor Lakes. The other ones are coming at some point this year, so a couple of months' time. Mm-hmm. The Ultras or whatever they are.
It's as clear as mud.
Stay tuned, listeners. We'll try and figure out what on earth is going on and actually simplify it down for everyone, if we can.
It's good, because I'm struggling with that massively. Right. The TechRant Rumour Mill is back after its extended vacation. So this week then, we've only got one kind of mixed rumour bag, haven't we? A couple of roundups from Mark Gurman, he of Bloomberg fame in his Power On newsletter. Apparently, according to Mark Gurman, we can expect several new products coming in the Apple product roadmap. Now, alongside the iPhone 15, let's be honest, he's going to launch as much as the day is long. There's going to be an iPhone 15. Apparently, according to Gurman, they're going to launch not just the new Apple Watch 9, but a second gen Ultra. Now, I'm not totally sure this is a rumor. I think this makes absolute sense.
Yeah, so I was reading that and I was like, it's not really. It's kind of, I expected that.
Yeah, I mean, to me, the Ultra, you know, has been a success. I think it has been a success.
Yeah, definitely.
I see a lot of people wearing the Ultra, so much so that I regretted swapping back to a Series 8. But we're also, this talks of rumor, the other major rumor though is apparently there is a 30-inch iMac in development as well. So that is probably more of a rumor, isn't it, as well? He also thinks that the new iMacs with 24-inch screens are going to skip they didn't get an M2 version of it. We'll jump straight to the M3, which kind of, I think, is interesting. They didn't do an iMac with an M2, isn't it? We haven't seen that released
yet.
But
it's not Apple... like iMac Pro either. So maybe that's the 30-inch is going to be the iMac Pro.
Well, this is it. And if you think about it, the last 27-inch iMac Pro was still the Intel model, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So in theory, does that sit alongside the Studio and the Pro, or are we looking at, again, a redundant machine? Now, in my view is it probably should exist, because there are some people who are going to want the old air commas Pro experience, but they want the screen. I just don't know. Part of me feels, again, it does not need to exist.
I don't know. The 24 inches is a very small screen for an iMac.
It's a tiny screen. Tiny screen.
It's tiny. In this day and age, I mean, obviously people are buying the iMac, but in this day and age, should people buy 24-inch screens? Apparently so, but I mean, I couldn't work on a 20. I mean, my side one is a 25-inch turned on its side.
Yeah, I mean, I've got...
Like 34, is it?
Yeah, so we're both working off 34 ultra wide in the middle. Yeah. I've got 227 inches either side, and, you know, that's
I understand we're not your average.
No, we're not your average consumer.
Definitely not. But I'm sure even my wife, a 24-inch would look too small for if she was going out to buy a new desktop or something.
Yeah, so I think the 30-inch, I think the 30-inch iMac could be the pro.
Well, it's 30-inch plus.
It's yeah, so that to me, that's going to be, I think that could be the pro. Now, whether, I mean, let's say jumps ahead, M3 chip, I can't see them put, the problem is if it's a pro lineup, they're not going to launch it with the entry level M3.
No.
So we've got to wait for then an M3 Pro or Max, which means we're talking Q2, aren't we? Yeah. Q2, nice, yeah. End of Q2, Q3 of FY24, you know, in the financial year 24 for Apple. So the middle of the year next year, potentially, you know, WWDC, because that's where that's now traditionally where we're seeing, isn't it? The kind of the mid lineup of the M series chips.
I think maybe a 24-inch iMac with a M3 standard, maybe. But yeah, the 30-inch.
I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah, but also I wouldn't be surprised if Apple did a release on paper for a new iMac Pro with the M2 Pro or M2 Max in it, with the chassis from last year. You know the new chassis that with all the colors and
the connectors. Yeah, yeah, chassis. Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they did a chassis and a launch with that, but on paper for an M2 Pro.
But would you go and spend the extra money for a Pro or a Max still in a 24-inch iMac chassis?
Well, again, that's the problem, isn't it? Yeah. I don't know. It just seems
a bit odd. Some consumers are like, oh, I want the best iMac I can buy, and they'll buy it. But anyone remotely professional or clued in is going to go, no, that's too small.
Yeah, why would I waste my money on that? Yeah.
I would just buy an M2 or M3 Mini at that point, which you can get the Pro in, can't you?
And yeah, and you know,
buy a decent screen.
And you know the base level M3 is going to be probably better than the last generation M2 Pro, isn't it?
Because exactly, yeah.
You know,
you just get yourself the mini variant and just buy a decent screen, not obviously the studio display because that's silly money, but you'd buy a decent widescreen display.
And the problem is with Apple, and we often see this, you are just chasing your tail, aren't you, with Apple now?
Mm-hmm.
There's no way you can catch up unless you've got absolute bottomless pit of money. You cannot keep up with the Apple approach.
Yeah, but I mean, was there anything released in the WWDC computer-wise that made you think, I need to upgrade from your current Mac Pro?
The only thing that's kind of made me think I want to upgrade, and I had the same challenge last year, is I would like either a Mac Mini M2 Pro or a Studio. Because
to replace that was your work machine.
Yes.
Your personal one. Yeah.
No, at the moment I've got an M1 Pro MacBook in a dock, you know, a vertical dock, plugged into a Thunderbolt dock to give me a desktop experience
with the adapters for the display.
With the StarTech adapter to give me a third display. That's not great, and also you shouldn't really, you know, it's not good practice, is it, to have a laptop on constantly. You know, even though the battery
is shut, and
and you know, even though the Apple are very clever these days, mine's on power all the time, so it very cleverly drops the battery. You know, Apple's got very clever charging,
and never does, discharges it, and exactly.
Yes, so in that respect, that's not causing the battery any damage like traditional laptops, but actually having a Studio something back there would be probably about a bear. I think if I can find the disposable income, I think by the end of the year, I would probably look to maybe get either a last generation Studio with an M1 Max, because that's still a hell of a chip, isn't it? Let's be honest.
Yep.
But it has to have at least a terabyte of storage and at least a minimum of 32 gig of memory to give me longevity out of it. Not because I need it now, but longevity.
Well, that's what I did, isn't it? I was using the work laptop, and it just wasn't fast enough. Same kind of thing. I was worried about the battery. It got quite hot and close. So I ended up buying one of those mini PCs, like an Intel NUC.
Really nice. Really good.
It's got a Ryzen 7 with 8 cores, 16 threads, 32 gig RAM, a terabyte of NVMe storage, 2.5 gig networking on it. Multi-monitor support. Without adapters, it just blasts for everything.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, for me, that's exactly what I'd want to do this for, the same concept around my Mac.
It does a bit of light gaming.
Well, I don't know about that.
Mine does. It's got a more radio graphic.
I mean, don't get me wrong, those M1 chips could kick ass on most things, but yeah, they're not optimized for gaming, are they? It's the same problem. But I mean, the difference between the things is you've got user. I mean, is yours RAM on? Is yours soldered RAM? Or
no, it's just SODIMMs. I think it's DDR5 in there, but yeah.
So that's the difference, is that I'd need to spend a little bit more money to ensure.
I can upgrade to at least 64 gig, maybe even 128 gig in it. And that's obviously upgradable storage as well.
Yeah. So I'd need to ensure that I, you know, had a machine that's going to give me at least a minimum of 2 or 3 years longevity.
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, for me, I'd have to spend a bit more money. But yeah, I think, to be honest with you, that's for me, coming out dubbed up, talking computing power, the studio, or at least a topped out Mac Mini, yeah, it's definitely something I'm going to have to consider. It's probably a better move for me, you know, in terms of the machine wise. And plus, again, because of Apple's terrible decisions on storage and RAM, I need to get more on board storage. I need to get more on board.
Not a terrible decision for them.
Oh God, no. Perfect decision
for you. Yes.
Terrible decision for me. Right. On that note, then, it's probably a good place for us to wrap up for today. We'll be back next week. I'm sure we will have back on a regular release schedule of once a week for the moment, until further notice. Episode 138 with all of the latest tech news and stories. Of course, we are still on the new Twitter, and you can find us at Weekly Tech Rant. And of course, all of our show notes at techrant.online. And of course, where you get your podcast. Please give us a like and a share. And again, apologies for our... A slight delay in releasing this update, but well, like I say, we are back. One of the things we didn't mention this week, of course, which was in the news recently, was the Titan submarine disaster that happened. Of course, normally that kind of news story would be something that we'd talk about, given, you know, the mix of technology and exploration, you know, that kind of fits well with our stories. But given the terrible tragedy that happened, I didn't think it was appropriate for us to talk in depth about that on this week's episode. Yeah. But of course, thoughts go out to those families, for those that were lost in that disaster. Again, you know, it's exploration has never been easy, but that certainly was, you know, very tragic indeed. Right, like I say, we'll be back next week, 138. On that, I've been Jay.
I've been Carl. Good evening, all.